Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. It's NCAA Conference Tournament Week, which means we have some technical challenges because I won't explain them, but we apologize for the slightly lower than normal acceptable audio standards for this week. But I don't really need to hear these guys that well. It's not their take that important. Joining us from Toronto, the country to the north, I should say, for the big game tonight, Tim Bontemps, between the Lakers and the Raptors. This has been circled everyone's calendars for minutes.
There's so much excitement here, Brian, that both teams canceled shoot around because neither one is very excited to play.
more free time for you in Toronto. And joining us in Houston, where there was a game of consequence played last night, it's Ben McMahon. McMahon, what did we learn from that game last night with the Warriors beating the Rockets, snapping their winning streak without Kevin Durant?
Yeah, you know what? You don't want to jump to any grand conclusions based off the regular season, and that's the same if the Rockets would have won the game and capped the regular season sweep. But Boogie Cousins' performance last night certainly felt significant. I mean, he is the one huge wild card in that series that wasn't involved in the West Finals last year. He was awful the previous time that he played against the Rockets this year. They basically played him off the floor, just picked on him repeatedly defensively, out of sync offensively. But last night, man, it was pre-Achilles bully Boogie. Last night, it was just run stuff through Boogie on the block. And, it wasn't even like him attacking switches. It was, honestly, he just ate Clint Capella up. The Rockets didn't seem too concerned about it. Basically, kind of the vibe from them was, hey, Boogie's going to get what he gets. You know, we'll take the chance of him doing that four times in a series. We've got to do a better job against Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Now, like you said, KD didn't even play. But, man, if Boogie is healthy and just, that dominant and that effective, I can't see the Rockets winning a series.
Well, I don't see the Rockets winning the series either way, but I agree that they can give them some problems. Bontemps, you have been been pretty out there. You think Boogie can get victimized a lot? Did last night's performance change your mind at all about what he could do in a certain matchups in a playoff series?
Not really. I mean, I'm with McMahon. He definitely played really well last night. I thought on offense, his passing in particular really opened up a lot of stuff for them. And with Kevin Durant out, I thought it was good for them to really try to get him some confidence in a big game because he has been getting, picked on a lot lately, both in the media and by other teams. I went back and watched all the minutes he played this morning. I thought it was interesting that Houston, I didn't think Houston really attacked him as much as they maybe could have. Like, when they played Philly a couple weeks ago, Philly went at him every single play, and they had Mike Scott and Jonah Bolden popping out and shooting threes all game, and Boogie was lost, and it couldn't get out there, and it was a mess. And I think the way Houston plays is kind of interesting because they get these isolations. They didn't really get him in the pick and roll a lot last night, and I thought Golden State, did a nice job kind of protecting him, and, to Tim's point, at the other end, he was just bullying Capella in the paint and kind of doing, using his size and strength the way he can, so I thought that was a good performance for him last night, but I am still pretty skeptical that when they get in the playoff series, they're going to be able to keep him on the court when teams are really able to go at him time and again.
Well, this is what we see in playoff series. We see certain guys have different impacts on different nights. We see coaching maneuvers, strategy maneuvers, lineup maneuvers, etc. It's one of the reasons we love these long series so much is the ebb and flow that goes back and forth. And I think what you really want in a playoff series, whether it's the first round of the conference finals, which this possibly would be, is you want uncertainty. You don't want to know what's going to happen before the series begins, and so or before a game begins. And so I like the back and forth. I like the way that the Warriors went about the game plan for that. And if they were playing a game two, or let's even call it a game three almost, because game one was kind of a couple weeks ago where they won in Golden State without Harden. I would be very excited to see what would happen in a game three. Now, granted, this was only a 2-point game. It wasn't like the Warriors blew them off the court, and at the same time, they didn't have Durant. So it's not really a fair back and forth. But considering how well the Rockets have been playing, although, McMahon, I think even you mentioned that they've been petering out a little bit. Their last couple of games, they weren't as good as they were earlier in the streak, and maybe the Warriors just caught them at the right time, don't you think?
Yeah, and it was a two-point game, but it was also a crazy comeback in the last couple minutes to make it a two-point game. And look, D'Antoni even brought it up last night. Like, they didn't play well, and they barely beat a Mavs team that can't buy a win right now. They got a huge lead over the Hornets, and, you know, Charlotte was able to come back and make a game out of that. So, you know, D'Antoni's point was, look, you know, we kind of let some bad habits creep in there in the last couple games of that long win streak, and he felt like, you know, again, as much as Boogie was dominant, he was like, you know, that's fine. We can't let Klay Thompson get open looks. We can't give up backdoor cuts to Klay, to Steph. You know, he felt like they just weren't sharp. They were sloppy defensively. And then, look, frankly, James Harden had an off night last night. I actually looked it up. Since his 30-point streak ended, which, you know, there was some mental fatigue that came along with that, as well as obviously physical fatigue and even injury. He's averaging 33 per game, but he's only shooting 40% from the floor. His 3-point percentage is way down. Clearly, for the Rockets to have a chance to come out of the West and dethrone the Warriors, they've got to have Harden back at that historically elite peak form. But, you know, I fully expect these teams to see each other again in the playoffs. You know, for the Rockets, they hope it's the West Finals. Right now, it would have to be the second round. But I promise you this, the Rockets have absolutely zero fear of the Warriors. Now, maybe Kenneth Faried perhaps should not be the spokesman of that. I think the Warriors found a little bit of humor in that. Honestly, I didn't
know. Yes, that was mentioned after the game a few times. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know Faried had mouthed off. I was so buried in the Russ versus Utah Yahoo, imbroglio. But the Rockets are rightfully confident that, you know, hey, if there's a series against the Warriors, they not only feel like they can win it, they actually feel like they should win it.
Yeah. Is there anybody in your mind, Bontemps, that can legitimately, I mean, obviously, there could be injuries, there could be freak things, but is there a team other than the Rockets you could see winning 4 out of 7 on the Warriors this year?
I think that the Thunder actually could present a bigger challenge to Golden State, and I think the reason why is because if they get in a series, especially say if it's the Western Conference Finals, I really would like to see that series to see how Kevin would react playing in Oklahoma City in the playoffs.
Fair point. Yeah, that's true.
Being guarded by Paul George. They have Steven Adams, who's always given Golden State trouble. You know, Russ, for his faults, is a physical presence that can bang on Curry some. You know, they've always, you know, been a pretty good matchup for them. And I just don't trust this Houston team to beat Golden State. This reminds me of the Nets and Heat when I covered the Nets in 2014. And they swept the Heat in the regular season. I know Houston last night, but everybody thought that Garnett Pierce team could really give the Heat trouble. And then they got in the playoffs and they lost in five, in a competitive five games. And, you know, for as close as that series was last year, if Andre Iguodala didn't get hurt in game three, I think that would have been a five game loss too. So, you know, injuries aside, I think their biggest challenge is going to be whoever comes out of the East in general. But I would like to see them play Oklahoma City just to see how they would handle that and what would be certainly an interesting environment, to say the least.
Well, so my viewpoint,
especially with the backdrop of what's going on with KD and, you know, one foot out the door and kind of how that's altered the Warriors' chemistry. I mean, that would be quite a scene. And I would
imagine if they're 1-1 going to Oklahoma City for game three, right? That would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. And Russell Westbrook, for the last, Royce Young tweeted, I think like the last 20 games, I mean, shooting percentages are back up. He's obviously stuffed in the box. Well, they just need to get Paul George back into MVP candidate form. And I think the Thunder certainly at least present a threat, but nobody's picking anybody but the Warriors to win the West, just to be clear.
Yeah. I mean, my thing on Oklahoma City, I think anything is possible with them, but I think for them to win over the Warriors and really over any high-level team. They need all of their dudes to be at the top of their game. They need Paul George to be a two-way monster and to be efficient, because sometimes Paul George, now it hasn't been this season, but when you go back and look at Paul George, he's had playoff games where his efficiency has plunged, where he'll have 27 points, but it'll be on 7 of 28 shooting or something. Westbrook needs to be good Westbrook. They need Steven Adams to not be in foul trouble. They need him to be effective, not only as the rebounder and rim protector, but also as the roller, so that he can create the spacing that they need offensively. They need at least one guy to be making outside shots, ideally two. There's a lot of boxes for them, in my view. They have to get checked, and they've got to get checked, four times in a series, maybe even more, to really be in it. Because they even, if you play the Warriors and they are on fire at their best, you're probably not going to beat them. Sometimes you just got to take your hat off. So I question whether the Thunder can do that eight times and what it would take to win the semifinals and finals. But I certainly recognize and agree with you guys that they have that ability. I have been spending more than 100 days on the road for the last 15 years, which means thousands of expense reports and hundreds of headaches with, quote, expense management system hell, which I have encountered many times. In my family, they know when I'm doing expenses because I have this look of wild-eyed rage going on in my face. Because one of the things that you come to find out when you actually file expense reports is that the people who seem to write the software haven't actually left the office. And that is why I am very proud to announce a new sponsor here to the Hoop Collective, Trip Actions, which is one of the leaders in the industry. Trip Actions works so well that it's the first travel management platform designed from the ground up with the road warrior, people like me, in mind. If you're frustrated with your company's travel management program or lack thereof, and that's me, I mean our travel management program at Disney and ESPN is wonderful, you need to look into Trip Actions. They take the pain out of corporate travel with a complete solution that helps businesses save money and keeps employees like me happy, which is not easy to do, let me tell you. Go to tripactions.com/hoop, complete a 30-minute demo with a Trip Actions account executive, and you'll get a $100 Amazon gift card. But it's this month only for that special offer. tripactions.com/hoop for a free demo and a $100 Amazon gift card. Take the headaches out of your corporate travel. TripActions.com/hoop. I do want to touch on Westbrook just a little bit. This thing that happened in Utah the other night, McMahon, you were there. I think you were there in his post-game statement and just the post-game locker room. I have some thoughts on what happened, but first I just want to get your first-hand take on what was going on that night.
Well, and look, there's obviously history, and Eric Woodard of the Deseret News, I think it was yesterday, tweeted out a video from last year in the playoffs where, Russ is dancing and a fan sitting maybe 10 feet away in the third row, very loudly and obnoxiously is heckling him, calling him boy. And I mean, come on, that's not okay. And so you have that history, and then, this guy, he gave me his side of the story. The Jazz investigated. They decided that Russell's side of the story was accurate, not just based on his what he's said publicly, not just based on Raymond Felton confirming it, Patrick Patterson confirming it, but, doing their own due diligence, their own investigation. And, it's very unfortunate. Jazz fans have a reputation. I do think it is a case of some bad apples, spoiling the whole bunch. But it's not just Utah. I mean, look, I live in Dallas. There was a guy in Dallas, a quote unquote Mavs super fan, who they booted for the season because he said "F your mother" repeatedly to Pat Beverly. Like, how, in what world do you think that is okay?
He doesn't realize that only fires Pat Beverly up. Don't go toe to toe with Pat Beverly on trash talk.
It ended up giving him toss out of the game because Beverly, threw the ball at him. But
that's right.
It's not cool. And we're pretty simple guideline. Number one, act as if there's kids around you, because there are. Okay, don't talk about families. Don't cuss at players. Definitely don't bring anything racial or personal into it. And pretty general rule of thumb: if it would get your ass whooped in a bar, don't say it to a player during a game.
So here's the thing. The reason this became a huge deal is because Westbrook's comments got caught on video.
Yeah.
It was, and I will say that in Utah, by the way, is a basketball only facility. I mean, obviously they do other events there, but they don't play hockey there. So the stands are much, when I say the stands, I mean the non-floor seats. The actual grandstand is much closer to the benches in Utah than it is at most other arenas. The only other arena that's really comparable is Indiana, which is also basketball only. But even in Indiana, there's an extra 10 feet that they don't have in Utah. Along that visitor's baseline in Utah, what do you think, guys? There's two rows of floor seats, maybe three, and then you immediately have the stands. So in Utah,
in the third row.
Right. You, in Utah especially, you are much more into the stands. One of the reasons why it's a very difficult place to play. It's one of the reasons why it's a great arena to watch a game in. It's a terrifically designed venue. It's one of the reasons why Steve Ballmer wants to build his own arena in Inglewood so that he can build an arena that's designed for basketball. But the side of that is that that is particularly fertile for there to be interactions with fans because you are way closer to a lot more fans than you would be normally. Because normally, at most NBA arenas that also have hockey, they have floor seats that go over 5, 6, 7, 8 rows on where the top of the ice is. It's not a grandstand. It's a lower rake, if you will, a lot fewer people, and the distance is greater from you to the grandstand. So that's part of it. Secondly, and I talk about this with the Clippers when they, back when Chris Paul was there and Blake, and they used to get texts out the yang. I'll talk about it with Scott Foster, the official, and the Rockets now. When you walk into an arena, you bring your experiences in that arena with you. Mm-hmm. Ideally, yep. You'd like to say that that's not true, that an official can walk out and see the Clippers, you know, circa 2014-15 and officiate them as if they've never seen them before, but that's not true. And so when, you know, Draymond Green gets upset that officials are quick to give him a technical, it's because they've listened to him for the last 6 years. So when Russell Westbrook walks into the whatever they call that arena now, it's had changed names 4 times since I've covered the league. Vivint Smart Home Arena. He brings the experience with him of the past there, and all of those things have to be taken into account. Plus the fact that if it hadn't been caught on video, this wouldn't have been that big of a deal. It wouldn't have been a national story. But yeah, I think it's interesting. And go ahead, McMahon.
And you know, I thought it was interesting that how strongly the Jazz, after the investigation was done, got his back. You know, Donovan Mitchell put out a statement. Seth Losha on Instagram. Of course, Seth Losha is Russ's former teammate. I talked to Rudy Gobert, and you know, he said, hey, we have his back, and he wanted to make it clear.
But of course they're going to have his back, McMahon. Players are all – if that was a media member, we'd all have your back. I mean, that's not that surprising.
But it's not only the players. It was the organization. I mean, they quickly banned the guy for life. So –
But the organization needs better relationships with the players than it does with one single family.
Yeah, and to your point, McMahon, yeah. I think they clearly recognize they have a problem, right? And it's something that's come up before. And they want to try to nip it in the bud.
And it's hard enough for the Jazz to recruit free agents to Salt Lake City without this kind of thing, being an obstacle. I will say this: I personally like Russ. And I sympathize with him here. I really wish for his sake he did not make any reference to the woman, and certainly, you know, make a threat. Not that I think he would have whooped the guy. He wasn't going to lay a hand on the woman. And he kind of said that, though. I wish in his statement, though, he would have been a little stronger in terms of, hey, the one thing. Because he said, if I had to do it over again, I'd say the exact same thing. I don't think that's the case.
You can't tell fans to F off or whatever. You just can't do it. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that, you can't account for emotions or whatever. Find them because you can't do it. I'm not saying that, it was worth a federal crime and that he didn't have a right to say it, but You just can't do it at the end of the day. I don't care what the guy says.
The $25,000 fine was appropriate, and the lifetime ban for the fan was appropriate.
So yep. I want to, Bontemps, I want to cross-reference this with what happened at Madison Square Garden over the weekend with Jim Boylan.
Oh, God.
Now, this is, again, something that was interesting because it got caught on video, but Dolan didn't necessarily know it was going to be on video. I guess Russ didn't either. But a fan comes over, and MSG released the tape, and I watched the tape. The guy does come two sections over to yell at Dolan. And he says to Jim Dolan to sell the team. Dolan immediately reacts. And at first I kind of thought he was joking because he kind of had a smile on his face. But obviously he wasn't. And he banned the guy for life. And he's been banned from the Garden. And I just want to compare and contrast it to another owner who is arguably the worst owner in the NBA.
Let's expand that in pro sports. I mean, let's be fair.
Okay. Robert Sarver, something similar to this happened with Robert Sarver earlier this year in Phoenix. And again, I don't think Sarver knew he was on camera. Same situation. He was walking out of the tunnel and he was alone. He did not have a cadre of lovely women and security guards with him like Dolan did. But he was walking out of the tunnel. And a fan said, sell the team. And Sarver looked up and sort of smiled to him and said something that I don't remember the exact line was, like, are you buying or what's your offer or something like that. And, you know, I thought that was a pretty good way to handle it.
Right.
Because that's a way to, like, remind the fan, this is a billionaire game, buddy. Enjoy the game. But at the same time, be it good natured. And this is a thing with Jim Dolan. You know, he's thin skinned. It was a pretty bad look all the way around.
And by the way, if your fans aren't frustrated when you're one of the worst franchises over the last two decades and one of the worst year after year, essentially, then you've got a problem of apathy. And he's lucky that they still sell that place out. And look, if they don't have sell the team chance at every Knicks game, home game for the rest of the season, then they're doing it wrong.
Bontemps, what do you think about that?
Well, this is not the first time that Jim Dolan has acted in such a manner as this. I mean, we remember he had Charles Oakley thrown out of the arena last year after Oakley was yelling at him. He went on the radio this week and, among other things, said, if they're so upset, why do they still come to the arena? Which is probably not the best thing to say when your team has lost 50 games for whatever it is now, 5 years in a row. As somebody who has spent a lot of time in New York, has family from New York, has a lot of friends in New York,
Go on.
Well, I have more friends than you everywhere. But there's nobody who's probably more reviled in New York, perhaps other than maybe the president, than Jim Dolan. And it's a universal, it's basically a universal opinion that he needs to sell the team. I mean, Dolan calling this an ambush on the Michael Kay show maybe the funniest thing of all time. When the guy literally just kind of ambled over and was like, hey, Jim, sell the team.
And the guy wasn't like, didn't cuss. The guy
no.
like it's some kind of harassment. No, I'm sorry. Sell the team is not like, again, when we're talking about heckling, that is about the game/business of basketball. That was completely appropriate fan conduct. And honestly, it's embarrassing for not just the Knicks. That's an embarrassment for the NBA. And I do wonder, like, at some point, does Adam Silver need to step in and do something about this situation? Because it is an absolute joke.
Well, this is the question that I get asked a lot, right? It's like, and especially by friends in New York, like, can't Silver make him sell the team? Like, what is going on here? But remember, the Clippers were a joke for 30 years.
Yeah, I know.
They didn't make Donald Sterling sell the team until the tapes came out.
Well, you can't.
Right. Well,
you can do. You know, remember, the owners own the league. It's not the fans' league. It's not the players' league. It's not Adam Silver's league. It's owned by those 30 men and women.
Correct. And that was what I was saying. That, like, Sterling was obviously a drag on the league for decades, right? But the league was not going to be able to do anything with him unless he crossed over a line, which he eventually did, and then they got rid of him. Dolan's probably never going to cross over such a line. So unless he decides to sell the team, they're going to be stuck with him.
No, but you know what? Adam Silver sure as heck can put a huge tampering fine on him. Because he's saying, you know, from what I'm hearing, you know, whatever the quote was on the radio interview, basically, you know,
yeah, but he didn't mention any players. He didn't mention any.
Okay, but he admitted tampering. The agents are telling me we're the front runners.
That's a
blatant. If Magic Johnson can get a tampering fine for complimenting a player who's not going to be a free agent for years, I'm pretty sure Dolan can get fined for admitting that he's having illegal conversations with agents about pinning
Here's the quote. Here's the quote from Dolan. Look, New York is the mecca of basketball. Parenthetical, it has not been for decades, Jim, because of you. But we hear from people all the time, from players' representatives, about who wants to come. We can't respond because of NBA rules, et cetera. But that doesn't stop them from telling us, and they do. I can tell you from what we've heard, I think we're going to have a very successful offseason when it comes to free agents. What really would help is if we got the ping pong ball to go for us.
Now, I guess he was careful enough to maybe avoid something there, but give me a break. And by the way, I love the fact that he thinks the reports that he's, you know, Bill Simmons thing where he heard he was considering something, like he thinks that's going to impact free agents' decisions. Like, dude, here's the thing. You are the front runner for free agents despite the fact that you own the team, not because. Like, let's not act like if somebody else bought the Knicks, that would do anything but help their cause. The
players who have played in New York, like, I think Carmelo always had a fine relationship with him because he tends to pay his players, frankly. And, I don't know if there's necessarily an impact from that kind of level. I think his issue is that the team has been run, you know, terribly from the management side. And I think, you know, if you look over the last 18 months, the Knicks have at least had a semblance of, you know, having their stuff together for the first time in a while. And if they could pull something off this summer, maybe that'll start to change. But certainly, you know, this certainly is going to be played back on a loop in the summer, you know, whether the Knicks get guys or strike out. I mean, imagine if they strike out on Durant and the other guys who are expected to come, and then this is just played on an endless loop in New York all summer when they end up with C-level free agents after trading Porzingis away, right?
I think that would be the coup de grace, holy shock. I mean, I never want to tell an owner not to speak because I don't like it when there's owners. Like, I always remember Chris Cohan, who owned the Warriors before Joe Lacob did. He didn't make a public comment for like 10 years or 12 years. You know, I would much prefer an owner speak, so I'm never going to criticize an owner for speaking. I don't know how him saying that helped his cause. Because it just put an undue expectation / pressure. But I will say this, it affirms what a lot of us were feeling and hearing. I mean, when they made that trade for Porzingis, and I said this then and I'll say it again now, I felt like it was a good trade for the Knicks. Because they got, I mean, we talked about this before, I'm pretty sure, Bontemps.
Yeah.
They got the big three. They got young players, draft picks, and salary cap relief. It's very rare that you can get all three. But it only made sense if they had a good idea of what they were going to do with that cap space.
They know at least one guy. Now they've got room for, or at least they're very confident on at least one guy, KD, obviously. And now they've got room to recruit somebody to go with them. I tell you what, I love the New York Daily News versus Dolan feud. I love the statement the New York Daily News Sports Center put out. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I saw it. It was great.
I mean, but this ended with, we will cover positive developments fairly and with enthusiasm if and when any actually happen.
Yeah, it was great. As a tabloid alum, it was a great tabloid moment, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But this is the thing. Like, it's like you were saying, Brian, about Dolan talking. Like, he just can't stay out of his own way. Like, whenever he has these interviews, he does stuff like this, and it's just like, what are you doing? Like, everybody in New York has been waiting for the Knicks to have a plan. Everybody in New York has been waiting for the Knicks to have a plan for a long time, right? The Knicks have a plan. It may not work this summer, but they're tanking. They're trying to get Zion. They have a plan for free agency. They have a solid plan in place that people in New York
have
assets
now.
They have assets, right. They have young players, they have assets, they have cap space. Like, the Knicks actually have a coherent sense of direction for once. And people are excited about the summer for this team. And then Dolan goes and, like, this fan tells him to sell the team. He starts this whole controversy nationally. Then he goes on the Michael Kay show, talks for an hour, says all this other crazy stuff that blows up and becomes a bigger thing. And again, it's like to your point, like he just can't help himself in any of these situations. Like, just have a little bit of tact and say, hey, don't, I'm not paying attention to this guy. I'm going to keep walking. And don't then call it an ambush. And then don't, like, brag that you think you're going to sign guys this summer in free agency. Like, it's just, this happens over and over and over again in New York. And it's just amazing that after two decades owning the team, we're still talking about the same stuff with him.
Yeah. And speaking of ownership behavior, and I hate to make this all about owners, but it's been an incredible week. So the LA Times, about 3 weeks ago, got its hands on some emails. Now, there's a lawsuit that's happening. I think this is fascinating. If you guys think this is boring, you can tell me to move on.
No, because an owner's nickname is Balls. That in and of itself is awesome.
People
need to go read these LA Times stories, because it is incredible, both this story and the past stuff, what they're actually finding out, what's being said about the Clippers and the Lakers. It's crazy stuff.
So I don't have 100% grasp on all this, because I don't fully understand the law aspect of it. But what I believe to be true, and if I'm wrong, it's just because of ignorance, these documents were not supposed to be made public. That's true. They were not supposed to be made public. They were accidentally put online, and the LA Times grabbed them before they could be taken offline. And there was 10,000 pages of emails, and they keep churning out, as they go through these emails, they keep churning out these stories. And so basically, there's this Inglewood, which is where the Forum is, where the Lakers played for decades. And if you've ever flown into LAX, you've flown directly over it. If you've flown into it in the last year, you've watched the Rams and Chargers stadium getting built there. And it is ground zero for this epic fight amongst these NBA teams and billionaires. So a couple weeks ago, and this was less interesting, but basically Steve Ballmer made a deal with the city of Inglewood to build an arena, and they're going through the process to try to get it done. Basically across the street, it's not directly across the street, but it's across Century Boulevard, which if you know Los Angeles is the boulevard that runs east and west, and it dead ends into LAX. And you pretty much fly right down Century Boulevard as you go to land at LAX. And the Ram Stadium and the Forum are on this one big giant plot of land. And the Forum is owned by Jim Dolan, our good buddy with the Knicks. And it's a music venue now. They don't play sports there anymore. And the Rams Stadium is owned by Stan Kroenke, who owns the Denver Nuggets. And he has something to say about this as well. Well, across the street from those two venues is this a vacant lot that the Forum was using for parking. And the city of Inglewood told the Forum, hey, we need this parking lot to build a technology park. Would you mind if you not renew your lease? And they're like, sure, we'll let you have it because we're going to be able to use the Rams parking as soon as that's done. Okay, fine. And then like 2 days later, by the way, we're welcoming Steve Ballmer to build his brand new arena, which would compete with the Forum and probably wreck their business across the street. So Jim Dolan is pissed. He sues Steve Ballmer, okay? Well, today the LA Times... And by the way, I don't think Stan Kroenke is real thrilled with it either. I'm not 100% sure where he is, but we've got some billionaires angry at each other who are NBA owners. Well, it comes out today in the LA Times in these emails that the guy who runs the Forum, who is Irving Azoff, who is a well-known music manager.
Aside, the reason Phil Jackson went to run the Knicks is because of Irving Azoff. Also,
that's right. He brokered the deal. He brokered the deal between Dolan and the Knicks. Dolan and Phil Jackson. Azoff, he was the manager for the Eagles for decades, still is, I guess. And he runs the Forum. And
Philadelphia?
Very good. Very good. So there's these emails where Irving Azoff is trying to undercut Steve Ballmer by trying to draw the Lakers back to the Forum. and basically say, forget about Steve Ballmer's arena. You come back to the Forum, and then he won't be able to build his arena here. We'll have the Lakers back at the Forum, and it'll just be like the good old days. And in these emails between Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, and Irving Azoff, they refer to Steve Ballmer openly as Balls, B-A-L-L-Z.
And I love the Z. That's like, is it more insulting when you put the Z on it? I saw that it was. It looked like they used both, right?
So yeah, they were consistent
different times. I think AP Styles should be with the Z.
Capital B with a Z.
Yeah.
And not only now, these emails were from a couple years ago, and in the emails, Jeannie basically says, "Didn't Balls see what I did to my brother?" Which was she basically kicked him out and won in court. And then she said, if he builds an arena there, it'll be a ghost town, meaning that he won't be able to get any other events there besides Clippers basketball games. She goes, Clippers basketball.
You know what you'd be able to get there that the Lakers can't? Playoff games.
I love McMahon. Do you guys care about this at all, or is this already, are people already turning off the podcast?
I love it. And I love also that Jeannie Buss can't claim fake news because LA Times has the actual emails.
Brian, this is Andrew Hahn, longtime listener, first time caller. This is some real deep cut, like basketball insider stuff you're going into, which is great. It's very hip. It's like next level. We all know you're a hipster because player drama is now no longer interesting you. You're after owner drama.
Forget millionaire drama. You want billionaire drama.
Yeah.
So you're saying that by the way, Steve Ballmer is worth $41 billion. And you don't think it's interesting that the person that shares the building with him, Nick, calls him Balls behind his back?
It's very interesting to me. I'm just giving, this is your 10-minute warning, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see.
Oh, wow.
That's LA. That's LA resident. This would affect his life.
Yeah,
Andrew Hahn. Well, anyway, I thought it was amazing, and I think this is going to continue to be amazing because again, it involves.
It's safe to say that story is going to have a lot of ripple effects for a long time.
Because you've got Dolan,
you've got the Lakers, the Clippers, maybe even like you said, Kroenke with the Nuggets. There's a lot of potential ramifications there that are worth monitoring for sure.
Well, and again, it's four NBA owners firing involved.
The Lakers and Knicks, the two franchises who basically have everything gifted to them and keep screwing it up over and over and over again, conspiring to keep the poor little Clippers down. And then here the Clippers are going to be in the playoffs, got all kinds of assets. I love Pat Beverly just rubbing it in the Lakers' face at every turn. I just feel like Ballmer should just make Pat Beverly the team spokesman. Just go ahead and make it official.
So yesterday in Toronto, Bontemps, I don't know if you were actually at the Raptors practice.
I was.
Kawhi Leonard was asked basically to, you know, give the update on how things were going on with the Raptors. And I did not see the video, but his comments looked downright giddy. Can you describe what he said when this to me, I thought was what this made my eyebrows jump. And what did he say first off, and what did you take away from it?
Well, I also talked to Kawhi after, and I hadn't been around the Raptors in a couple of weeks, and I spent some time with them yesterday. They're asking to play the Lakers tonight in a game that is far less interesting than it was initially going to be. And I just took my biggest takeaway from Kawhi was he was just happier than I've maybe ever seen him. He just was in a really good mood. And you know, people can, you know, we can make a lot of jokes about Kawhi that he's like kind of like a robot, but he looked very, he looked very happy. But here,
chipper even?
Chipper is a fair word to describe him. I mean, I think this is the quote you were looking for. We've been doing a great job making sure nothing flares up and gets out of control, and this has been great. I'm just happy I'm able to play. I said this before, I played only 9 games last year, but to be able to get up to the games I've played now is amazing. I feel good, and we have something to look forward to. I'm not sure if that's exactly the right quote, but
I've never heard Kawhi use the word amazing, I don't think.
Yeah, he was just in a really good place. I talked to him for a couple minutes after. He
now he's in a terrible mood after talking to you. Yeah. Well, even that didn't bring his mood down, which tells you how good a mood he was in. But he, it was noteworthy. And the Raptors just in general feel very good, I think, about the position they're in. They've had an interesting year. Kawhi has, missed a decent amount of time. Kyle Lowry's missed a decent amount of time. They've still chugged along and won a ton of games. They're integrating Marc Gasol now. They're about to get Fred VanVleet back soon. He's not playing tonight, but he should be back by this time next week. And they've just kind of quietly flown along. It's second place in the East. They've got no fanfare, really. They keep winning
they keep
games.
Winning.
There's no attention to them
by the Cavaliers.
That was the second night of a back-to-back, but yes, they bad loss. I agree.
They had a bad loss on Monday, but
Serge Ibaka would have won the fight if it wouldn't have been broken up.
Well, Serge is lucky he didn't connect with Marquise Chriss, so he probably would have got, I think, double-digit games.
Would say Marquise Chriss is lucky Serge didn't go on.
Serge has a habit of missing on these punches now, but the fact he has a habit of swinging at all is why he ended up hitting, I think, three games. But no, they feel good about their position. I think there's a decent chance, the way the standings look right now, that they could get Philly in the second round, which I think is the optimal matchup for them. Why do I think Philly's the best matchup? Because I think of those four teams, I have the least trust in Philly getting out of the East. Their bench is a mess. They have to integrate all these guys. They haven't really played together at all. I'm not sure I trust them in a playoff series. And I think Toronto is well-equipped, especially after getting Marc Gasol, who's defended Joel Embiid very well in the past. I think they're well-equipped to handle them. And the biggest reason why is I think if they get Philly and Boston, say, in the playoffs, those I think are the two teams they match up against best as opposed to Milwaukee, which has given them a lot of trouble. So they in general feel very good about where they're at. And, they're excited to kind of get these final few weeks over with and get to the playoffs.
McMahon, you were in Toronto recently. Did you...
Cold.
Well, it must Beautiful be warmer day. There because Kawhi's in a better mood.
Kawhi's in a good mood. It's like 45 and sunny today.
Yeah, they did. I was there for the Rockets. The Rockets were rolling at the time. They didn't look good that game. The Raptors' bench looked completely out of sorts. But I'm not going to overreact to that. They had a rough night, and the Rockets were playing really well.
They've missed Fred VanVleet a lot. Jeremy Lin has not played great since coming here. I think it'll help them a lot when they get VanVleet back, and he can take most of these minutes that Lin has had. That's kind of coincided with them having a couple of these, up and down performances lately. But I think
it is a situation where it seems like both Ibaka and Gasol struggle when they come off the bench, and obviously one of them has to come off the bench, and it's. On paper, you feel like, boy, that's a great advantage to have both of those guys, but it just hasn't necessarily worked out that way on the court.
Well, Nick Nurse all season long has rotated his starting big men depending on the opponent.
Yep.
He kind of indicated, and correct me if I'm wrong, that he was going to sort of choose one, although that process may have been slowed down by the fact that Ibaka is now going to miss the next three games.
I'm not quite sure about that part. I think I still think they've been kind of going back and forth all year, kind of so that when they get to the playoffs, they can kind of go matchup by matchup, kind of across the board too. They've tried different lineups. They've done a lot of different stuff.
That's the thing I love about the Raptors the most is their flexibility. And I've loved this about them since the preseason. The way they have what I call the most modern team, because they have like almost everybody on their roster can play multiple positions. Like everybody can play multiple positions, basically with the exception of Marc Gasol, quite frankly.
Yeah,
and Gasol can stretch Lowry could play off the ball if he had to.
Lowry's big enough to guard off the ball, at least, against other guys. He's strong enough to guard those guys. And I think the other thing Toronto's excited about is I think they think that Kawhi Leonard, I think, is going to be able to take another step forward in the playoffs. I think if you talk to them privately, they feel like Kawhi is going to be ready to go, and he's going to be a monster in the playoffs. And for as good as he's been in the regular season, if he does that, he could go to another level.
As a veteran of many Raptors playoff series and many Raptors playoff games over the last 3-4 years, I've gone to many of their games. There comes a time in the playoffs where they need somebody to basically rise up and they just couldn't count on Lowry and DeRozan. Now, there were times when those guys did do it. It wasn't like they batted 0-0-0. But there were also times when neither of them could do it, and they just couldn't get it done, and they quite frankly, they folded. And, again, they have what they think is the haymaker now, the guy who's not going to fold. And so that just changes the arithmetic on everything. So I'm excited for the East playoffs. I think with respect to the Pacers, by the way, begin a 10-game stretch from hell now. We come back in 2 weeks. I don't know where the Pacers are going to be, and I do not want to disrespect them.
They're going to be in. They're going to be in.
They saw Philly the other day.
Yep. Yeah, that they needed to win.
They're
going to
be in fifth. They're going to be in fifth. But this is the stretch of schedule they got: OKC at Denver, at Portland, at Clippers, at Warriors, Nuggets, at Thunder, Celtics. They're going to be in that stretch.
The East playoffs will be really fun from the second, in the second round and in conference finals. The first round isn't. There's not a lot of drama there.
That's the case for most years. All you can really hope for is great second and third round. All right, guys. Well, thank you for making time. I enjoy it as always, and I look forward to the next time we talk, when we will be able to have our good sound again, because we won't have so many college basketball games on the radio. Thank you to Andrew Hahn.
No,
thank you to Kyrie.
Good sound when Bontemps is talking.
Fair point. Thank you to Kyrie in Bristol for spinning the dials. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast.
Adios, amigos.